What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Coaches to the Moon. My guest today, Mr. Luke Page, has been a longtime friend of mine. He was actually working at the company who was teaching me to be a coach back when I first started coaching. Maybe name 10 years ago now, 8 to 10 years ago. So this guy's been around. He knows what's up. He knows what he's doing. And that's why he's such a great coach today. Very charismatic, very handsome, very fun guy to hang out with. Tells a great story and probably just a bit more banter in this episode than your usual Coaches to the Moon, because we have such a history. But we get into some great tangible advice as well, including some organic offline marketing strategies you probably haven't even thought of, although they seem very obvious when you think about it, and then getting into Luke's own unique style of affirmation and self-belief that really helps you to become the person who not only is ambitious to be successful, but is most importantly grateful, happy, and grounded in where they are right now. And isn't that the key to all of this, ladies and gentlemen, being happy and being content with where we're at in our life? So this is an amazing episode, one I really enjoyed, and I think you'll really enjoy it too. So ladies and gentlemen, let's get into it. Here he is, Luke Page on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to Coaches to the Moon, ladies and gentlemen. We have a returning contestant today, going with the boxing theme. If you're watching, Papao, a good friend of mine, a man I've known for a long time. Alas, we do not catch up like we should, so I have to actually, you know, offer him some content to get him to have a conversation with me. A very, very lovely man who I worked with at the very beginning of my coaching journey. We've done the podcast, we've stayed in the same network, and, you know, throughout the past couple of years, we've both become fathers running businesses. We're having a great bloody time, and I love everything you're doing. My friend, Luke, the Duke Page, how are you, my friend?
Mazzarino, what's cracking, mate? Very pumped to be back for a second time on the To The Moon podcast, Coaches To The Moon. And tell you what, I'm like, I've got to beat my last podcast, my last episode with you. So I'm like, all right, what can we chat about? So I'm like, I've got something that I want to share today that's going to take us to the moon, mate, for sure.
All right. Well, we'll take it. Yeah. I think the last one was like 2 years ago, man. Like a long
time. Long, 2 years. I mean, it was when you first started this thing. So it would have been...
Well,
yeah, that's 2 years ago.
This is episode 147, and yep. You know, sometimes I've done two a week, sometimes one a week, but you'd imagine that's at least 2 years worth of recording, hey?
Yeah, that's good, man, because I've had mine for almost 5 years, and I'm just over 150, so it took me a couple of years until I went to once a week.
Yeah.
I was doing them like once every 2 weeks on average, so, mate, you've done well to get to that level already.
Well, one day I hope to be invited on your show.
You've been on my show, mate.
Yeah, you want to
go back for a second time, do you?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, look, no. I was kind of thinking, I'm like, mate, you've got me back on here. So it'll be kind of weird if I don't ask you to come back on again. So
it's like being the best man at someone's wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you kind of have to ask them to be yours. But I didn't do that, actually. I was best man at another guy's wedding. Yep. And when it came to choosing my best man, I said to him, I'm not choosing you because I know you won't want to do a speech. And he thanked me for that. And I chose a guy who was, you know, who loved doing speaking, you know?
Was he like a groomsman though?
Yeah. He's like my best mate, but he just like, there's objectively a guy in our group. He just does the best speeches, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He rocked
it. There's always someone like that. I had a guy where, I've been probably a couple where they weren't in my groomsman party, but I was a groomsman for them.
Mm.
So that's happened.
Yeah.
It's
tricky. The thing about being a groomsman is I'm a groomsman coming up this year for the first time in ages. And it's like, oh yeah, I was looking for another way to spend $2,000 on something.
Yeah.
You know, how fun. So I get to come and do more work and spend more money.
Yeah. What are you spending $2,000 on?
Oh, you're always going to get like a suit and go to like an extra part of the Bucks night and an extra, you know, all this stuff. Probably won't be $2,000, but there's always like more stuff involved.
Yeah, there's more stuff. I mean, we paid for the suits for our wedding because we're kind of like,
big shot.
If you bring them in, you got to pay for it. But like, yeah, go into the box and then you got to buy them a present, especially if you're the best man. It's got to be an extra special. It can't be like $100. like everyone else gives, or 200 or a couple hundred bucks. You got to go a little bit north on that. So, yeah, mate, have fun. Congrats.
Hip flask from the local key maker from at the mall with a with their name engraved in it. Always works a charm.
That is it, with the old engraving on it.
When did the hip flask stop becoming so relevant? I think everyone used to have a hip flask in old movies, and it was just fine. Like, if you walked around with a hip flask with whiskey in it these days and just had a bit on the train, people would think you're really in
trouble. Mate, we used to, like, when you used to go to Deb's and you'd take the flask in. Did you ever do that? Oh, you know, Debbie's?
The club?
But no, like a debutante ball. Do you have them up in your... No. Actually, wait, you weren't born in Australia.
Well, I wasn't, but I was here when I was 11, so debutante balls. But I didn't realise that was a thing that they did past 1876.
Like, yeah, mate, we had the flasks in our little, our suits. We used to have like the fluoro orange ties. It was kind of that era, and you'd have the white shoes.
Are we in Pride and Prejudice right now? Doing debutante. What is a debutante ball? What does it involve?
It's just like you maybe might be 16 and you're at school. Usually it's organized through a school and you dance. So you have like it's like a formal event where you have like there's formal dances.
Right. Oh yeah. We just called it a formal. Oh yeah. There formal, we go. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it's a formal though. I think it's different to a formal. That's the thing. I never did a deb. I was like, nah, you had to get up and go to school and early, you had to like practice in the mornings. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. So I didn't do it.
Oh, for like proper dance moves.
Yeah. But it's not like, mate, it's old school. So you're kind of like, twirling around that type of thing. And then you're all walking in it.
For those listening, Luke is stepping away from the microphone, demonstrating a waltz.
I didn't think of that one, mate. I thought I had my lapel on today.
He's beautifully. It's kind of, yeah.
I don't even know what type of dancing you'd call that, but it's not cool dancing, put it that way. Just like kind of ballroom, mechanical robotic ballroom, we'll call it.
I think that we need to move back to it. I think that the moves the kids are doing these days are disgusting, provocative, and out of order. You always get, it's always weird. We'll get onto, growing businesses in a second, but don't you think it's always a bit awkward on the wedding thing when you get to like, the end of a wedding and everyone is singing like Little John songs and like your nan is there and your grandma's there. And
it is weird.
It's a weird one how much debauchery happens in front of your family at a wedding and it would just never happen anywhere else. But I think we've got two more weddings to go in our friendship group and then we're done with that season of our lives.
Until you get the people who divorce, which is statistically 50%.
Yeah.
And then they remarry. So you've still got people in the future, man. So your best man career isn't over.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, I think it might. There's maybe one guy I could be best man for again. But, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Luke, how's life and business, Luke? We haven't even introduced you properly.
Who is this weird person?
Yeah, I know what you do. If we were to look at your Instagram, what it says is helping coaches grow their business and spread greatness. And this is what we do on this show, is that we know that the coaching industry, if you can call it that, is one that is very broad, with no barrier to entry, lots of incredible people with great ideas and a passion to create change and impact people's lives. Some who just want to make a living off of it as well, which is fine, but most with very little business acumen of how to actually get there. So Luke Page, how have you been helping coaches grow their businesses these past 14 years?
Jeez, well, it's not 14 years, man. Sorry. I've got on there on my Insta. You know what? When you said that I'm helping coaches grow their business and hit greatness, whatever it was, I'm like, did I actually write that?
You did.
And like, I'm looking at my Insta now, helping coaches grow their business and spread their greatness. Yes, yes, yes. That's me, everybody. It is me. I've got down there 14 years coaching. I've put down 14 years coaching because that's when I technically started coaching people. Mm-hmm. I used to coach people with sales. So I've been helping coaches specifically for a bit over 6 years.
Okay.
How do I basically do it? Well, geez, without doing a really long story, I teach them how to use social media mainly, man, how to just basically market and sell on social media. I work with an earlier stage coach.
Yep.
Mainly coaches work making under 10K a month.
Yep.
And when you're kind of working with coaches like that, it's just real basic stuff, teaching them the basics of putting together an offer, obviously having a niche, being the person they need to be, attracting an audience and then selling an audience. As me personally, as I grow, I will help coaches that are at a higher level. So this is kind of where I was at. When I first started, I helped brand new coaches. And then when I kind of started getting my first clients, and I helped coaches kind of get their first few clients. And then when I grow again, so that's kind of where I'm at with it. As I grow, you know, one day my vision of I'll be helping coaches who are making seven figures. So, I'm at the moment, I'm mainly focusing on like an organic type of style. So mainly across social media, but hey man, I'm a big believer in the old school, the way people used to get business when there was no internet or social media. So I also talk about the offline work as well, because it's just such an area that so many people don't tap into. Because people are scared. They like to hide behind computers. So I also talk about offline stuff as well.
Interesting. Let's get into it, because we talk a lot about social media on this channel. Obviously we're on social media to promote this. That's where my business is. And you make very fun, very creative social media content, by the way. Go and follow Luke_Page on you ever go by Page? Page could be the new brand for you on Instagram. But offline. What sort of offline stuff are we doing? Are we doing, like the star writing?
That wouldn't be bad. Mate, the simplest one is the thing with social media, right, is if you've got to be to get someone's attention these days, you've got to be a gun. Like if I post something, I'm competing against a massive audience, and I'm not just competing against coaches, the best coaches in my niche. I'm competing against everyone. So I'm competing against bloody Beyonce, and I'm competing against Chris Hemsworth and everybody else who's got millions of followers and who else ever posts. So that's the thing, is because there's so much competition online, whenever we do post something, we've got to be able to get our target market's attention, got to get them to stop and listen to what you've got to say. And it's not the easiest thing to do, right? And especially if you haven't been doing this for too long, and if you're fairly new. When I say new, if you're under 3 years, you're classified as new. If you do the offline thing, the competition ain't there, man. Like online, when you're posting something, you're competing against, like I said, all those people. The competition is massively high, which means that you've got to be good at what you do to get attention. What does good mean? Well, not only, if we're talking to coaches here, not only do you have to be a good coach and know your shit, you've actually got to be a good marketer and have a good hook to get their attention to stop. Then you got to keep their attention, and then you got to divert their attention. So you got to know all that stuff, right? And most coaches are great at being a coach, but they ain't great at being a marketer or a salesperson. So the offline thing, take away all the busyness of social media. If you can find out where your target market is and hanging around, just walk up to them and have a conversation. There's no competition because you're the only crazy person doing it. So what happens is that even if you're a really average coach, even if you're not super confident how you deliver your message, you're the one that gets the attention because there's no one else behind you walking up to someone on the street. So for example, if you're a coach and you're a PT, you're an online coach, online PT, where does your target market hang out? Well, they hang out at gyms. Could you hand out a business card to people that leave a gym? People might say, that's crazy, that's a little bit weird, but hey, how much do you want to grow? The other thing is that, I mean, if you're a health coach, it's fucking easy as. You can go to the city and walk around and visually, you know who your target market is, look who they are. It's the easiest thing in the world. Bit harder for me being a coach. I can't really go to the city and go, oh, that person's a coach and that person coach. Bit harder, but say for example, if you can visually see who your target market is, you can walk up to them, have your business card, and it's a simple this. Hey, how you doing? I help people get fit. Check me out online if you ever need help. And it's not you sit there and sell them and push them.
Yep.
What you do is a quick introduction. On your business card, it says, go follow me here on Instagram. And your Instagram is your house where you sell your shit. Mm. If you do that, 9 times out of 10, even if people think you're an idiot or a loony, they'll still check out your Instagram page. So what happens is that you go to front of mind with that person.
Yep.
And you're no longer competing for the attention. Now, if your Instagram page and your content is crap, then you won't convert them, but that's another story. But let's just assume that you're good at what you do. You're a good coach, right?
Yeah.
Then you get people coming to your page with, it's like, they may not have bought yet, but you at least get your people coming to a page. Hopefully they push follow. And then if they push follow, then you should have some sort of little funnel system to capture them. But yeah, that's the easiest one. Mozzarino. You do that. And you know, mums, anyone, a coach that helps mums,
yep.
Everyone knows who a mum is. They're pushing prams around. They got kids. Walk up to them and just go, hey, what's up? I help mums with X. Check me out if you want. Next one. Da-da-da-da-da. Man, you throw it, hand out 100 business cards, you'll get a client easily. So let's just say you can't get clients right now. You hand out business cards 100 today, you'll get a client by the end of the week, guaranteed. It's a slow approach, but it's an effective approach. And it's an approach that works fast. So that's the offline method, Mozzarino. I've helped a couple of cafes, This is not coaches. So helping cafes get customers. Now, I've never owned a cafe, man, so I technically don't know how to build a successful cafe. But from me being I call myself a cafe expert. I always go to cafes and I work from them.
Yeah.
And just from doing that, man, I'm just like, man, I could get these people customers because I'm going to see what they're doing wrong.
Okay.
And I just walked into a cafe one day and asked them, hey, can I help you? I can do this. And I got another client, weirdly enough, some cafe owner who follows me saw me in person a couple of weeks ago, and then she messaged me. She didn't come up to and speak to me, but she messaged me saying, hey Luke, can you help me? And I'm like, fuck yes. And I'm like, man, I love this cafe thing, even though I'm not going to advertise. Well, anyway, one of the things that I say is, let's go walk the streets and hand out your business card. And it's like it instantly gets customers. You walk around, you got a cafe, you walk on the streets going, hey, what's up? Cafe's down there, great food, great people, great vibes, come check us out one day. Next person, hey, here you going, da-da-da-da, great food, great vibes. You're just going to get people. Why? Because you're building a very quick relationship with them and there's no competition because no one else is handing out business cards these days.
Interesting.
Fuck yeah.
It's very interesting. It's very, very, very simple. Potentially a little terrifying for a lot of people. But I feel like the first one of the day is the hardest. And once that's done, you'd be pretty good. And you know what? Yeah. I've not done that, by the way. I've not done that. I used to run a cafe, and we have definitely handed out flyers, and we've sold things on the street. So I've done that, not for the coaching space.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people out there, to support what you're saying, who call themselves hustlers and that sort of thing. But if you told them to go and do that, they'd freak out. Whereas the people who are not scared to do it is like Hare Krishnas, you know, on the street who want to give you their vegetarian recipe book for $2 or whatever. Or, you know, these charity people who are, you know, so well trained. The charity muggers who just grab you and they got you. These people are real hustlers, and they're doing old school. I had a guy knock on my door the other day and came to me and had me signed up for a charity tax write-off. But basically, like, I think there's a lot of talk of hustling grind in the coaching space, but it often just means work harder on the computer throughout the night. And so that's very, very interesting to hear, Luke. Have you personally generated, except for that cafe client, when's the last time you did that? When's the last time you went out walking the streets?
Mate, for my coaching business, mate, I've never done it myself. Yeah. Like, in regards to, have I ever done that in my past? 1,000,000%, man. I remember when I first did real estate. I started real estate and you had to, mate, that was the thing. Like, it was all about old school connections. I had to do letterbox drops. You'd walk around the streets and go, hey, I'm the local real estate agent, all that type of thing. So it's like, I think maybe why it's kind of a close to my heart is because that's where I started sales with that sort of stuff. We didn't have laptops back then. I did real estate when I was 18, so 20 years ago. And it was that sort of sales. It was old school, no internet, no social media. You've got to get out there and just speak to people.
Yep.
So that's why I have that. I still have that major respect for that sort of sales. And because so little people do it these days, the best marketing is, as long as it's working, is that where no one's fucking sitting, where you're the only one doing it.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so you just don't, you just instantly stand out. So, you know, let's just say in 5-10 years, it goes back to everyone's handing out business cards on the street, then you won't do that. You'll do maybe DMing in 10 years has gone and now one's hand. So then you'll start DMing again. You've got to do shit that people aren't doing. Then you get attention really quickly.
You definitely would. You definitely would. And you're going to ruffle a few feathers. The more direct you are with your marketing, the more feathers you ruffle. You know, a cold call annoys people sometimes, but it's also the fastest way to get through to people as well, rather than a DM conversation. The more direct you are, the more feathers you ruffle, the more risks you take, the more close you are to actually, yeah, get what you want. And walking up to someone on the street, tricky. When you're saying go and find a, if you're a health coach, find someone who clearly needs to be fitter. You've got to be, there's nuance in that conversation.
Like, yeah, I mean, look, it's, I guess you could be like, oh, the person gets offended. And you're like, well, that's the wrong person for you.
Yeah.
Like, don't, you know, it's not the wrong person. It's legit. Like when I post my content, I know people get offended by some of the stuff that I say, but I don't care anymore. Like, it's just like, man, the right people get me and understand me and like the maybe the crude things I say every now and then, or the direct things I say, the wrong people won't. And it's not my responsibility how other people feel. So it's the same thing with you. Yeah. It's like, you got to be, if you're freaking out about pissing people off, then that's going to hold you back from finding the people who love what you're doing, what you're talking about. So yeah, of course that's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're got to speak to 100 people, and out of those 100 people, you're going to get 5 people who get pissed off. It should be like, it shouldn't be like, hey, look, I'm not searching for the 5 people to get pissed off. I'm just searching for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who I can change their life.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to piss a few people off in the process. But like, that's the attitude you got to have with it.
You can't not piss people off. The bigger you get, the more people you piss off. You know, name any brand and there's going to be like Amazon, Facebook, how many people hate them, you know, but still use them all the time. And we've both run ads before and posted things on social media.
Yep.
How often do you get called a scammer or just told to fuck off in a comment?
Standard thing, isn't it?
Standard. And you know that this exact ad campaign that you're calling me a scammer on has actually helped these people to go from here to here, you know, because they've come through and they've seen past the negativity that you've got and said, okay, this sounds like a good idea. So I like that, man. I like that the fact that you're not afraid to ruffle a few feathers. I can tell that.
And just with that, Mozza, it's like there's a law. There's a law in the universe. So we all know the law of kind of attraction, right? So what you think on is what you attract.
Yeah.
But there's another law. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. The law of polarity. And basically what it states is that for anything, there has to be an equal opposite. Yeah. So two different poles to everything. Nothing can exist without having two sides of the poles, hot and cold, up and down, dark and light, that type of thing, night and day, summer, winter. So with the thing in regards to getting clients and fans, because what do we want? We're like, oh man, we want our fans. We want our clients. And if you're wanting that, then the law of polarity states is that in order for you to get that, you also have to get haters. It's impossible. So if you're trying to make this work with you avoiding getting haters, what you're doing is you're sitting on the middle and you won't attract your fans. So this is really important to remember this, is that in order for you to get all those fans and those clients that you're wanting, the law of polarity states is that you also must accept haters along with it.
Yeah. Boom. Tricky, hey? Tricky thing to do when you're young, you're insecure, which we all are to a certain point.
We're all insecure. We're all scared.
Yeah. I've actually been I've been working with a guy we both know, James Hepburn, who's coming on the show soon.
And Hepples, yes.
Yeah, you've seen his content lately. He's saying,
yeah, wild, he's gonna do it. I like it. Yeah,
he's saying wild shit.
He's saying some wild stuff.
He said one the other day, he's talking about living in like Colombia or something, and he's like, this happened to me in Colombia, and when I wasn't snorting tremendous amounts of cocaine off hookers' tits, I was marketing. And like,
he has good hooks.
He has great hooks, and he's actually helping with my organic content at the moment, which is great fun. And he's saying the same thing, man, which is, you know, a lot of my content is professionally done, but it's vanilla, you know, and I've realized that it's content for content's sake, not to do with the team who makes it. They're making it look awesome, to do with me and what I choose to say, which is all educational stuff, valuable stuff, but it doesn't like hook anyone in. So that's a big thing for me this year, is be that face of the brand, ruffle a few feathers when need be, and become that ambassador, because you've got to do it. And what I've actually noticed recently is a in one of Grant Cardone's books, Love or Hate Grant Cardone, as we're talking about, he gets tremendous amounts of both. He talks about when he started emailing his email list once every, you know, twice a week or whatever, and everyone's like, oh, you're getting people unsubscribed from the list, and he says, good, email them twice a day, that sort of thing. And I never understood that, but now I understand. If people aren't subscribing from your list, that's great, because you don't want them on the list. And so the first thing we did this year was we sent an email out to thousands of people on our email list, and half of them unsubscribed, because it was basically saying, if this is you, stick around. If this is not you, unsubscribe. And all gone. So we're not paying for them, but also... they don't need to be bothered by me. It's a very liberating thing to do, to know who you want to work with, and to be able to say no to people you don't, and to not worry about that. And it does take time to get the confidence and also the awareness to know who that is. So cool, man. You put up a lovely post the other day on your Instagram, which I'll just acknowledge. I just pulled it up here, which is just Luke smiling away with his lovely face saying, when you get to the point where you couldn't care less if that thing you've been wanting happens or not, because you are happy and grateful for who you are, get ready because your life is about to change in magical ways. And that's really nice. That's really nice. It's a...
absolutely nice, that one.
Now, I want to throw a concept at you, because I know that you've spoken about affirmations recently, right? And for me... the concept of affirmations seems to be almost in direct contradiction with saying I'm happy and grateful for who I am right now. Because when you say an affirmation, you're actively saying that you're in a situation that you're not. But I could be wrong, if that makes sense. You could be sitting there broke and saying, I am a spiritual millionaire, you know?
I'm a spiritual millionaire.
Or, you know, I'm so happy and grateful that money comes to me in increasing quantities, you know, on a never-ending basis, whatever. The old Bob Proctor one. But in doing so, it feels to me like you're saying, I am not happy and grateful with where I am, because I'm imagining I'm somewhere else. So Luke, where does affirmations come into this space of also being happy with where you are in life? Because for me, they seem to be the opposite.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is reminding me of a post that I did years ago, and I was saying something about, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like what I thought, what I used to, that's what it was. Remember those posts where you had like the divider down the screen, and it was like, you know, this is what I thought thing was, and this is what it is now. Remember those ones? That trend. So I think it was like what I used to think success was, and it was like $1 million and the house and all that stuff, right? And then I had now what I think success is, and I said something like, being happy where you're at in life, it's still wanting to grow, still looking for, that's it. It's being happy where you're at in life, but also looking forward to the future growth. So I think that's the probably, mind you, in regards to doing affirmations, I don't think majority of people, and I'm definitely a part of this as well, is that I don't think most people approach the affirmations correctly in regards to that little philosophy that I was talking about.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, so many people are so dissatisfied where they're at and they just want to so badly want to get out of it. And one of the things is like, you know, you've been told you got to use affirmations. You know, I am rich, I am amazing, I'm powerful. Because they want to get to that future. They want to get out of where they're at. They want to get to this future that they want. But with one thing that I've learned through this journey of growing a coaching business, Mozzarino, is I have had to learn how to enjoy where I'm at. And of course, there's been waves of, okay, yeah, I'm happy where I'm at, and then I'm really dissatisfied where I'm at. But jumping into the coaching business, I had to start again because I was in a career where I was making a really good amount of money. I was at the top. I knew my shit, but it wasn't close to my heart. And I kind of had a bit of a breakthrough in life where I'm like, what am I doing with myself? And then I quit all that and I had to let go of all that. And I had the status. Yeah. I had the Mercedes Benz and the personalized plates. And I earned the most out of all my mates. And I had a choice to keep that lie where I was just like, hey, I'm living this thing, but there's something missing, or to start following my heart. And I had to make a decision, man, to let go of all that crap and then follow my heart and basically start again and go to the bottom of the pit. Not easy to do considering that's the type of person I was. But, you know, when we met, yeah, in the coaching company, man, I was finding myself. And dude, I was lost as hell then, man. When you first met me, man, I was a lost little soul, through that little, just so you know, Alex, I worked for a coaching company. Alex was one of the clients, and that's where Alex and I met. So when you met me there, man, I was this kind of lost little confused dude trying to re-find and rediscover myself. And I'm like, you know, I'm in this coaching space, not really knowing why I am, but I'm like, my heart's saying be here for some reason. Yeah. So I think through having to drop all the status and having all that and go back to the man, I had to learn how to enjoy where I was at because I had to forego all the stuff I had, all the money, all the qualities, all the being at the top type of thing. I mean, I had to learn how to be grateful for where I'm at. Like I said, you have waves of it up and down. Right now, I'm feeling real good where I'm at. But it's like you're teaching yourself to be grateful for where you're at in life. Fuck. Man, I'm Mozzarino. I'm 30. I'm almost 38. How old are you? You're a similar age, aren't you?
32.
You're 32.
Yeah.
Fuck, you're young ass, man. hey, you are like 32. That's so young, man.
Half dead. That's the way I said it. 33 in 3 weeks. So there we go.
33 is a great age.
Sure.
It's an awesome age. Yeah, man, look, I'm only 37, but dude, I've been on a quest for 22 years trying to figure out my life. So I've been through so much fucking shit and I've learned so much stuff. And one of the greatest lessons by far, which I had to go through all this to figure this lesson out, which is what we're talking about, which is if I was operating in the old model, which is the achiever, Luke, I never would have been happy and fulfilled because no matter what I got in life, I kept on climbing. I was never fulfilled and I was chasing fulfillment. So, yeah, I learned that lesson. And I know we've all heard about it. We've all heard, you got to be happy with the journey, man. We've all heard about it, but how many people truly know it? So I've had to go through having everything to losing it all, to starting again, to learn that gift. And I'm so grateful for it because that's where I'm at, man. Mate, I'm only a little speck of what I'm going to be, yeah, in the next 5, 10 years, 15, 20 years, 30, 40.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm just like, I'm grateful for where I'm at and I'm excited for the future growth. So that's a massive answer on your little affirmations thing.
Hell yeah. That was a big question. It was a big question. And so that's awesome, man. I'm happy that you're happy with where you're at. Were you with Corny when you had the big job and all the money and then left it and then came back to this? How good is that?
That's, did you say how good's that?
Yeah, how good's that? I mean, like, that, you know, she was with you there. And then, because my wife's the same. My wife's exactly the same. I was managing restaurants when we first, well, I was a chef when we first met. Then I was moving up and managing restaurants and had all these perks, and we could rock into nice restaurants and they'd know me and get us a table. And I had like
the Moz, everybody.
I had like a
jar out.
I had a nice car, you know. And then when we had a honeymoon, I ran out of money in Italy. I had no more money left, you know, halfway through our honeymoon. Because of the dumb shit I was doing, trying to start businesses, you know? And so, it's super cool, man. I like those stories because I love, you know, when obviously that's not a factor in any relationship, is when you can just be together thick and thin. And that's really cool as well. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. So, all right. There's people who are not happy where they're at right now. Understandably, there's a lot of reasons to not be massive, you know, social pressure, financial pressure, just everyone's busy, everyone's comparing to each other. It is a tricky world right now. And in the coaching space, tough to get ahead because, like we said, there's a lot of competition. Everyone's doing the same thing. And you kind of need to be a big dog or do something completely different. So
be a big dog or walk the streets.
Or walk the streets. Yeah, exactly. You and I have both been in those low moments. I myself had a horrific January business-wise because...
This Jan, I'm
still reeling from January. January sucked. It was just all money out, nothing in, because it was just the things that we were doing in the business. It was all stuff I planned on doing. But it really, really kicked me right in the nuts. But that's okay. But I'm fine with that because I've done it and I know it ends. For people who are truly unhappy where they're at right now, can you give us any of these? You know, you said that you got a different style of doing words of affirmation that have really helped you out lately. Can you help out the person listening who's really, you know, struggling with where they're at?
Mozza, that is so smooth, man. That was such a smooth transition.
I'm great at this.
You are unbelievable. I remember when I did the first interview with you, I was impressed. You knew more shit about me than I knew about myself. So how's this, right? I got these affirmations and I knew I was coming on today and this morning where I'm like, I've got to give this affirmation a cool name because I don't have a cool name for it. So everybody, I got the King affirmations. Now, whether you're a male or a female, it's okay. You can use these King affirmations. Now, first thing, why do we use affirmations? Why does someone use affirmations? Mozza, I'm asking you.
You're asking me. I thought that was going to be a rhetorical. I would imagine, from what I understand about affirmations, is that you are sort of training your brain or your mind to expect a different result. It's all like you're visualizing something into reality.
That's it. It's like we do affirmations because we want to change. We want to change something about ourselves. So ultimately, if we wanted, we're doing affirmations to change. Yeah. Well, the recipe to change in life is you've got to think something. Yeah. But you've got to combine it with an elevated feeling, right? Because by thinking a certain thought over and over and over, combining it with a elevated feeling, what will happen is that will create a version of you which will take the appropriate action, which taking the appropriate action will get the result that you want. Mm-hmm. So an affirmation, the idea behind it is that we say, I am powerful, I'm empowered, that type of thing. And you say it over and over and over and over. And the idea is that you're kind of installing a new belief. So you believe that you're powerful. So when you jump on a coaching call, you've said this affirmation 30,000 times and you bring the power. Here's the issue, man, is that with the old affirmations, the standard stuff, is majority of the time it doesn't bring the secondary thing which requires change, which is an elevated feeling. Most people just go, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm empowered. They look in the mirror and I'm like, I'm strong. But it doesn't bring the emotion, because if without the emotion, because we're basically, we are everything that we the way that we're steered is by our subconscious. So we've got to somehow get into our subconscious and rewire it to support the dreams and support the person that we want to become. So if we have told ourselves our whole life that we're a shy person who doesn't deserve anything, and then someone says, hey, you got to do the old affirmation saying that I am powerful, I am strong, I am unstoppable. But you've been told your whole life, and if you're 30 years old, 30 years of being told that you're a shy person who doesn't deserve anything. Great. Your affirmation ain't going to do anything to it because you've got deep wiring. And the issue is that from 0 to 5 is where the deepest wiring in our subconscious happens. And then, you know, from 5 to 15 is the secondary. So if you've had any sort of trauma in those spaces and then you come out and do your affirmations now, it's not going to do anything. You have to have associated to the I am powerful thing is you have to have intense emotions of belief around that I am powerful. You got to feel powerful, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to have those two things. Now, the thing with some of our affirmations we believe and some of them we don't. So think about, you know, if you got your bunch of affirmations that you do right now, there's going to be some of them where you're like, you know what, I do believe that. You know, I am powerful. But then there's going to be some affirmations where you're like, I'm saying this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the best salesperson in the world or whatever. And you're like, your brain, as soon as you say it, I'm the best salesperson in the world. Your brain goes, your subconscious, which steers the ship. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I am the best salesman in the world. Bullshit. And if you do that, what happens is every time you say that affirmation, as opposed to installing the new belief, it actually deepens and strengthens the existing belief that you know you're not the best salesperson in the world and that you're a shit salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do? Is whenever you're doing an affirmation that you don't exactly believe yet, you have to follow it up with a because statement after it.
Okay.
You have to. Now, this is, if you've looked into affirmations, you already know this. And you're crying like, hey, Luke, isn't this meant to be this king affirmations thing that you've made up? I've already heard this. Hold up. The king's coming. So basically, I'll use an example. Like with me, I've been doing this affirmation where I'm talking about, so in my business, I'm making 6 figures and I'm only making 7 figures, right? And I'm like, I don't know, like, this is one thing I've been focusing on. I'm like, why am I stuck at 6 figures? Like, I should be at 7 figures. Like, I believe I have the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I have the character. What I kind of have realized is that I've got shitty beliefs that don't support that, right? So Mozzarino, to get to a next level in your life and your business, you need 3 things. You need a skill set. So if I want to go from 6 figures to 7 figures, I need a skill set to do that particular skill set. I need to have a certain amount of character. And then you also need to have the belief that you are a 7-figure business owner. So to kind of share like my thing, one thing that I say is that I'm a thriving millionaire coach.
Okay.
Now, I honestly do believe that I have the skill set. So I don't have to convince myself. That's like legit. I walk around telling people every single day, I'm like, man, I've got the 7-figure skill set, no problems. Not to say I don't have to learn anything, but in general, I'm just like, I should be in a skill set point of view. Next thing is that the character, I definitely think I've got the character. Like, I'm passionate as hell, heart driven, vision led. Nothing stops me. I keep on going. I persist. I'm patient. So from a character point of view, I'm like, I honestly believe I've got the character to be a 7-figure business. The last thing is the belief. I've discovered is that I don't have the belief in it. So that's the thing I'm working on. So this is what I say. I'm a thriving millionaire coach. I've got the skill set because I've got the skill set. I've got the character. And every single day, my belief is growing higher and higher and higher. Now, I haven't said I've got the belief, but I'm giving a statement which is true.
Yep.
Every single day, my belief is growing higher and higher, and it's true. Like, it's legit. Like, even if it's the smallest bit, my belief is growing, and I can agree with that. So what's important is that with your affirmations is that if you give yourself an affirmation and you don't fully believe it, you must put a because statement on the end of it and actually have a true story. So, for example, if someone says, I'm rich, and you don't believe you're rich, well, you got to find out how you're rich. And if that means that I am rich because I live in the world's richest country, and I get to wake up and I have electricity, mm-hmm. and I have access to food whenever I want, and I live in it, and I sleep in a king-size bed, like, you've got to figure out your story to support the affirmation. It's super important. And when you have a story that supports what you say, your brain goes, you know what? It's true. It's what's important. So what you have to do is you have to say your affirmation,
yep.
back it up with your story, and then wait for your brain to say, is that true or is it bullshit? And when your brain goes, yeah, there's some truth in that, you're onto something. Yeah, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for your brain to say, yeah, there's some truth in that. Okay. Now, yeah, for the reveal, mate. I'm very excited. By the way, this is the world first reveal on the King Affirmations. So look at it. So
here we go.
Here we go, everybody. So what's okay? We've got all that, right? Now, here's the King Affirmations method, we call it. So basically what I want you to do is when you do your affirmations, we know the rule to change is we've got to have our thought, continually thinking a thought. We've got to couple it with an elevated emotion.
Yep.
Once you've figured out your affirmation, you've figured out your because statement. Yeah. What I want you to do is I want you to find some empowering music. I love listening to movie soundtracks.
Okay. Right?
And I want you to put some headphones on, and I want you to say your affirmations with your headphones on with dramatic movie style, movie soundtrack music. Mm-hmm. Why? Because your ears are now going to be hearing, and you know, if you're most people, music will make you feel a certain way. Listen to sad songs, you'll feel sad. Listen to happy songs, you'll listen to empowering songs, you'll feel empowered. So find the right songs that support the affirmations that you're going for.
Okay.
When you've done that, ideally the best way of doing this is where you can move your body. Because if you're just stationary, we want to do everything possible to create an elevated feeling. So music will help elevate the feeling. Yeah. Moving your body will help elevate the feeling. So, you know, if you're kind of laying down in bed, yeah, it's great and you can do it. But moving around, at least, like I like to, I mean, I do it when I take Louis to daycare, and I'll be like using my hands and clapping my hands. I'm a millionaire coach, yeah? I have the, you know, because I have the skills, I had the character, and every single day my belief is growing higher and higher, and I'm waving my hands around, yeah? I'm moving my body.
Yeah.
When we move our body, it affects how we feel. So we're doing that. Now, you might be like, I've heard this before. And you know, I know you've heard this before, Mazzarino. What's so special about this? Here's where it gets King Affirmations comes into it. So what I want you to do now is, mind you, there's steps to this. You got to learn this stuff, right?
Okay.
Once you've got all that down pat, is I want you to use your affirmations, and I want you to pretend that you're doing a speech like Martin Luther King.
Okay. That's where King comes in.
That's where King comes in, mate.
Got it.
So everyone knows Martin Luther King and that speech. I have a dream.
Yeah.
At once. So what I want you to do is I want you to pretend you are speaking in front of thousands of people, and you are basically creating a movement using your affirmations, and you're basically there to convince them of your message.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mindset behind it. So you're going to have your music playing, your dramatic music, yeah? And you're going to pretend that you're speaking. You're doing the presidential speech, yeah? The presidential speech. And you're speaking and addressing hundreds of thousands, millions of people in your country. And your goal is to basically convince them on your message. Now, when you make that your focus, you start bringing in different emotions, yeah? So, for example, I don't want you to go, I'm a thriving millionaire coach, and I've got the skill set, I've got the belief, and I've got the character, and da 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 da. I want you to move around with it and change it and flex it. So, for example, I'm speaking in front of hundreds of thousands of people, Martin Luther King style. I am a thriving millionaire coach. I've got the skill set. I have got the belief. And every single day my character is building blah, 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 blah. And then change it around. I'm a thriving millionaire coach. I've got the skill set. I've got the belief. And every single da, 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 da. And you just flex it and you move it and you rant on it. Here's the reason why. I am unstoppable. No matter what comes in front of me, I keep getting back. I've been knocked down on my feet a million times. And guess what? I'm still here. I get back up on my feet. Nothing will ever stop me. And when you can do this shit, you can't do it, Mozzarino, without feeling fucking sick. Mind you, we don't even have movie soundtracks on right now. But imagine we did.
Yeah, man,
the emotion that comes out is sick. And when you do that over and over and over and over, you actually start believing this shit. So you start believing you're powerful. You start believing that you're a great salesperson. You start believe that you actually are rich, even though you don't have billions of dollars, but you are rich because you have access to food and you sleep in a king-size bed. So there you go.
Yeah, how good's that?
It's all right.
Mate, the freaking...
Mate, we've been buzzed.
The king is
right on the hour, and I'm done.
Oh, yeah, well, that was just... I've had my phone on Do Not Disturb mode, but my freaking computer's connected to my phone somehow, and someone called me through the phone. But, man, that's... That's great. It reminds me of stuff that I used to do back when I did this sort of thing. And I've said a few times on the show that I do very little personal development stuff these days because I get all the growth I believe I need right now from running a business and raising the girls. So I don't really do that much of this stuff on the outside. But I used to do a thing every morning on the beach where I listened to Macklemore, Ceiling Can't Hold Us, you know.
Yeah, good song.
Return of the Mac. And in that one, it was the end of my own sort of seminar, my own sort of NLP seminar. Mm-hmm. And I was jazzing up all the crowd, that sort of thing, with that song. And it was sick. And that was a time when what you're saying, really, I was doing stuff like that. And these were the best experiences I've had in that sort of arena because you get yourself believing it 100%.
Yeah.
And you look like a psychopath doing it anywhere near where anyone can see. And it's a heck of a lot of fun. And it's the kind of thing that certainly, because I've been in some rough spots in my life many a time, definitely makes you feel better, if only for a few hours. But sometimes those few hours are all you need in a day to actually change the course of your week. So, dude, I love it. The King Method, King Junior.
King Method, mate.
MJK Method. Of,
well, I was going to say, I originally had milk, so it's Martin Luther King, MLK, but I'm like, milk.
Oh, yeah,
and then I thought, King. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I like so it. Good. I like it, man. You're a king in itself, and that word king is getting thrown around so much online these days.
It's getting everywhere.
Any of us post anything, and all our boys are like, king, bloody king, you're a king. It's like...
Well, that's what Wallo commented, and he's like, two kings.
Two kings.
Right, there it is.
Every single one of us, down to the bone. But yeah. A true one stands before us today, Luke Page, who has shown us the way. And I dare say, Luke... to bring it all together, doing your method of king mode affirmations would probably be the right thing to do just before you go out and hand out business cards in public. Because...
Yeah, mate, anything. Anything that where you need to, if you had a different belief.
Yeah.
And you need some... anything. Yeah, so there's not like any place where you can't do it on it's the right time. It's just like, okay, if I would like to believe something so it helps me change, then... yeah, do it. So if you need to hand out some business cards and you're not confident to say, man, I hand out business cards. Like, I mean, what's the difference? You always speak to people. So it's the same crap.
It's rock and roll, man. That's rock and roll, man. You motivated me today. You've inspired me as you always do. What are you excited about in 2024, brother?
Mate, I'm so fucking excited about hitting 7 figs. Like, that's where I'm just like going to that level. That's my focus now.
Yeah.
And I'm like a talk about the personal development thing. I come and I shift from strategy to internal stuff, external, internal.
Yeah.
I'm in an internal focus period of my business right now where it's like, man, I've got all the skills, dude. It's all about belief. So I'm just all about feeding this belief, yeah, that I should be and I can be at seven figures. So, mate, that's all about it is, man, just becoming the seven-figure business owner that I know I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And feeding that new belief, reminding myself multiple times a day, Luke, this is who you need to be, dude.
Yeah.
Let go of him. This is who you need to be. So that's my excitement for this year.
Good stuff, man. Well, I cannot wait to see you achieve it. I know you can. I assumed you probably had or was on the cusp of doing it. So that's great stuff, man. Because I know those houseplants don't come cheap.
The houseplant.
No. Awesome, dude. Thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge with us today, brother. You're right. We have been going for just under an hour. One of our longest shows to date. My word.
Sorry, mate. I know you normally do half an hour, but...
No. I normally do about 45 minutes. Okay. 45 minutes. And it goes back and forth depending on how much... I mean, we did 15 minutes of pure nonsense at the beginning.
I love that stuff, mate. It's my fave.
We need that. We need that. And that is why on this show this year, I'm making a commitment to go deeper with people who I have a relationship with so we can get into the nonsense, get into the personality and see where it takes us without making it all business, business, business. So, hell yeah, man. Luke Page, thank you so much for being here today. Love you to bits, bro.
Thanks, bro. I love you too.
Anyone listening or indeed watching, I love you for that. Thank you so much. I'll be back next week with another one or two episodes of Coaches to the Moon. Until then, thanks for being here. Much love and peace out.
Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.